Order.
Yes.
Not quite 2 o'clock.
It'll get warmed up.
We're missing just Mark. You want everybody's phone number and everything? You're not with the IRS, are you?
Oh, I already got that.
Okay, 2 o'clock. Call the meeting to order. Do we have the approval of the minutes for April 9th, which you have before you, listed as draft?
Certainly complete minutes.
Wow.
If you think they're too much, I can start reading them a little bit differently.
No.
I'm kidding, Jeff.
What's the difference between these two?
You might have gotten two copies.
That's right.
Oh, you did. Oh, you.
I got them all.
You picked them all.
I do all of them.
But one example.
Make sure the coffee machine is right.
I don't see any problems with the minutes on my side, so I move to approve.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Okay, then approved. And second for the April 9th meeting. Okay, Terry is gone. Let's see, Vance is not here. Melissa?
We are moving forward. We got 90% submittals this morning for the project, for the runway project. And
what does that mean?
90% of the drafts, the legals, the technicals, they're done and out for review. And FAA has a copy. Airport Services, which is doing the nav aids, they have a copy. I gave Lance a copy. I got a copy. So we all are supposed to read through them, and any comments or concerns that we have, we write down, and then we get them back on the 28th to PAE. And then they will be ready to go out to bid once Kevin writes his approval letter. The scope of work is and fee schedule from PAE is in with FAA. See, now I talk like all the rest of you.
You do.
Yeah. I went out for an IFE, an independent estimate for with Century West Engineering. They should have that completed in a week. As long as that comes in about the same as PAE's estimate, then we're good to go. Kevin can go ahead and finish up that process, and then PAE will be working under contract. Right now they're working outside of contract. We are still on schedule to go out to bid June 11th. We will anticipate the bids will be back July 10th, and that construction will start in mid-August. Now, some of you may have heard of the bill that went through that took $253 million out of the discretionary grant funding. That has put kind of FAA in a tailspin. Everybody has had to justify the critical nature of the projects, so we sent some pictures of the runway. We are on the advice of FAA moving forward as though we're good to go. I did talk to Kevin and asked his opinion today. He was pleased that we showed better than he expected us to in the projects.
Showed what?
He thought we would be farther down the list than we actually ended up being.
But we'd obligated those funds. I mean, it was the story was that the tower funding was for unobligated AIP funds. Is that not the case?
I'm not sure. I wouldn't take that too literally.
It took $253 million out of AIP.
Out of AIP discretionary funding.
I don't know how much they would call unobligated.
I heard that if it was committed to projects, that was off the table. You know, that was okay. It was all those things that weren't committed to projects.
Yeah, my concern is we haven't got a check for all the money.
No.
They won't. Any cost that we've incurred to this point, they will cover at the 90% as agreed.
Okay.
It would be better if we were out to construction,
yeah.
But whether or not we're able to keep what we have, it depends on how critical the nature is of where they can get the rest of the money, which is why it's better that we showed, you know, we were higher up in the ranking than lower. Because we also need another grant to finish off. If we don't get the AIP 22, we don't have the funds to finish the project, so there's no reason really to start it until another year. I mean, but right now, we're proceeding as though everything is going to be fine. We have no reason to think that it wouldn't be a go-ahead. It's just, you know, how does somebody come up with $253 million? I can't even conceive of that. But they're in meetings today, Tuesday through Thursday, and making the case. And otherwise, we are current in our reimbursements from FAA on what we have incurred so far. And the first payment request for reimbursement request for $94,000 has gone to Connect Oregon, so they're looking at that. So we are there. There aren't any invoices sitting on a desk or in a drawer anywhere waiting for reimbursement. I did ask the question. Let me know if I'm giving you too much information. I did ask the question of FAA today. I said, okay, we need to be careful if we do shelve the project, because we do have the Connect Oregon grant. We need to make sure that if we postpone this a few months to get us in the next year, that everything's okay with that grant, and FAA is committed to helping us as best they can. So I think there's a lot of communication, and everybody understands what's at stake and what needs to go, what happened to go forward. Do you have any questions? As for the runway 220, we are planning a pre-construction meeting around the 22nd of May with the contractor and their subs to get that started. They want to start the 1st of June. They are required to be finished by July 1st.
And what are they going to do on that?
Those are the signs and the markings.
The signing. Oh. Okay.
If you're confused now when you taxi out behind the West Hangars, you'll be confused in a different
way. In a different way, right? Wait, no, it's not a taxiway, it's a runway.
I guess it's separate from that, but somebody was considering, maybe it's a whole different deal, or they're going to cut with a clearer sight, cut some trees down between 02 and 34. There's a canyon in there, then there's a...
Lance is clearing the line of sight.
That's not...
It's not part of the project, no, but he does want to clear the line of sight. He isn't here, but I'll give him good kudos. They've gotten cleared all the way around the fence. The jail crew went out there, cleared all the way around the fence, also cleared down so that the surveyors could go down and find some of the pipes. Mm-hmm. Lance was right on top of that, got that taken care of. Mm-hmm. Surveyors were out yesterday for the last two outlet falls areas that are problematic. Everybody's in here.
Ted? Oh, she's in a CEC meeting.
Anything else?
Any other questions, Melissa?
When they start on my hearing is that the 3-4 area, they're going to have to grind it all down and resurface and some of the trailings will be able to be filled in the lower spot on the west side of the taxiway.
Reprofiling the runway?
Well, yeah, you're going to have extra.
We're balancing the cut and fills.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the grindings, the asphalt, we're going to do an alternate, because I'm cracking the whips, because they all say so casually, well, that's going to be an additional $60,000. You say that very casually, but let's manage that a little bit. If we're now to the point where if we're 20,000 up here, we need to be 20,000 down here without nickel and diming the project, but we just need to balance our costs. So what we decided to do is to do an alternate that if the contractor wants to carry off the grinding someplace else, which is no cost to us, then they can do that. If the cost that they want to charge us is minimal, then we will use them to stabilize some of the roads that are out there.
Okay.
So that's where the grindings are going to go. But the earthwork is actually a cut and fill balance.
It's not going to be no extras.
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, we've been talking about it, so they're balancing the cut and fills.
Right.
Because it isn't just one side that's coming up. They're both shifting. Yeah. One's coming up. One's going down.
Yeah. All right. I just thought there was a section there that the museum was interested in, and it's lower, you know, and then there's of course the hillside next to it. But I thought maybe some idea was if you had extra, it'd go in that area that's low, but if it's going away, then I won't worry about it.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that. We've talked about where to borrow topsoil and things like that, but we haven't needed a disposal site for the soil, the dirt, the ground. We haven't needed that.
All right.
But as long as we're not impacting any wetlands, I'm sure we can find a place out there.
There's a good spot. I mean, you would probably want to do a soil sample, make sure the ground below it's stable, which I think it is in that location, but to build on it, need more area to build larger facility on.
Anything else? Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you. If you'll excuse me, I'll take off. Thanks, Melissa.
Okay, the update on the hangar leases. Mark is not here. You have a copy of the lease before you.
Also, let me see. The last time there were a couple of suggested changes, and I've just brought those single pages. One was the removal of the maintenance fee, which was 5.1. So here you go, and it's in red. And then the other one was that it was requested that there be a definition of taxi lane and taxiway. Mm-hmm. So there's not really a definition section in this lease. So, and there's not a separate section that says taxiway, which we could add. So you can see the two definitions are there in red under taxi lane, and I didn't just make them up.
I gave you all of this.
Sorry. I got them from the FAA website.
Oh, there's some missing copies.
Did you get
the 12.3.
Sorry.
So those were the two suggestions regarding the box hangar lease, and I just, I need to remind some of you that you are box hangar lessees out there, and you're actually making a decision, or could be potentially making a decision on your own lease, and therefore have a potential conflict of interest. But here it is, and at some point we have to get this lease moved off dead center. We need a lease.
With the wipes?
It's my wife. You can't shut it off.
Well, I guess my question to you is, in reading these changes, do you think that it captures
the two main points.
I had a couple and these are probably minor, and I just want to, I'll bring them up and let's see what the other committee.
What will happen also, Jeff, before you go, is that if you think these two changes are appropriate, then Section 5 adjustments to basic rent would have to be renumbered. I didn't do that.
Minor. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, these two points look like.
Other than the word path is spelled funny under 12.3. It's a parth.
A parth?
Yeah. Parth. Last sentence.
It has a parth connect.
It's in your dictionary and spell check, I suppose.
It must be.
From the FAA, it's got to be right.
Oh, it must be.
No, that actually wasn't in the FAA's definition.
It's an English show.
Trust me.
You did good.
Yeah, you did good. Okay, take part out and turn it into path.
That'd be good.
So from my understanding, just that means that, say, for his hangars over there, it's all been constructed, it's all there, so it's just the maintenance, and the maintenance being taken care of by the town of Newport, right?
Well, it says
what's the maintenance fee?
The cost of construction of the taxi lane, which is done.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you're going to construct a new one, then it's the obligation of the lessee. So if you're out in the woods, and if they're going to connect to the existing pavement, then that 5-foot section there would be the responsibility of the lessee.
If you and me would like to build a hangar on the other side,
yep.
And then, but for those guys, They have their
it's five. Already done.
It's all done.
So you don't have to build it again.
And then, honestly, unless something failed, this wouldn't be, or something new was constructed, this wouldn't apply really to anybody yet at this time.
And I think this is fair. It's okay. Okay.
What do you have,
Tim? Oh, I just had one, or maybe a couple little small ones. On 8.5. And I was just reading through that. And something that, the question I had was, the lessee would do whatever is necessary to repair, rebuild, or restore a structure that was damaged or destroyed. I would assume like a, you know, catastrophic, you know, something comes down in a hurricane or whatever and destroys it. But I would think that they would also have the option just to terminate the lease. They'd have to remove all this material, but I would think maybe as in section 18, that's covered there. But I don't know that if the place was destroyed, you want to have a verbiage in there that needs to be replaced. And if he doesn't want to, you just walk away. It may be more expensive to rebuild your hangar than it is to just say, here's your land back, cleared and free. So I don't know if that's how critical that is, but just it's kind of an obligation that you look at it and say, if your house burns down and you're required to build your house back, I don't want to. I just want to take the money and run, one of those deals. But
what does it say again?
Well, it says that are damaged or destroyed. Damaged, I can see, destroyed. That lessees shall do whatever is necessary to repair, rebuild, or restore the structure and or other improvements to substantially the same condition existing prior to damage or destruction. So
I guess what Jeff is saying is, is that a requirement? What if he just wanted to clean up the mess and give the property back to the city?
Here's your lease back, and you still have an obligation under Section 18 to make sure you cleared off all the debris and land back.
You have a clause for termination of lease, then it would be covered. So,
huh?
If you have between the cause for termination of
lease. Well, you need to state in this little 8.5 that or terminate lease as in section such.
Well, that would be sufficient word.
If you just put or, and then you're probably okay.
But I think the intent was really just to be sure things are maintained, as we know is an issue.
Yeah, but that's covered under a different subsection.
Right.
So I was just thinking, this is pretty rare this is going to happen, but something might like that. But if you just gave this, you have it related to some other section in here, that'd be quite. Then, you need to find the tax on that one. Let's see. Okay. Number 18-2. I'm wondering if this may be a little too onerous here.
What is the section, Jeff?
18.2.
And the title.
And then it's under removal and personal property and fixtures. 18.2 speaks to abandonment. And I think what they're looking for is if you've abandoned it, you want the city is able to come back and claim it, basically. But also here it states they're requesting that the lessee shall be deemed to have abandoned lease premises if it fails to occupy the same for a period of 3 months. Personally, I'd like to see that removed. I'm not sure why. You have other features under there that if they don't pay or they don't maintain it and everything's like this, but there are some folks that vacation period people that maybe live somewhere else and their airplane's not in their hangar. Is that deemed occupied or it's not occupied?
Maybe
it's
they don't have any stuff in there?
Yeah, well, that's all I had was an airplane, came in and went out. And
I don't think that's anyone who has a hangar doesn't have stuff.
Stuff isn't allowed according to this lease. You can't even allow stuff in here.
But your tools and your.
But the issue maybe is that maybe a little bit too. Whether or not that someone actually would do that, I would hope that wouldn't be the case. But.
Well, frankly, that would be rather difficult to enforce, don't you think, Jim? Because you'd have to have very regular inspections of the hangars.
Yeah.
And you would certainly, if you were going to move on that, have to know at some point, this is the beginning of the 3 months and this is the end, which you wouldn't unless you were having...
Oh, I agree. It'd be hard to enforce. I just wonder why it's even in there for that particular reason. You know, it's just one sentence that you're covered for everything else in the world. Why that's in there, it's just...
I'll tell you this. We objected to that the first time around when Gene was here, and when that went back to Gene and the lawyer and so forth, they didn't want to take it out. But I don't remember why.
Because remember, your hats are on with the city of Newport's best interest in mind.
Yeah.
And I know you're looking out at your own interest, but you are looking at it from the city's point of view. And the city, if we discover somebody has vacated there and everything plus their stuff is gone, and enough months comes off, we can start pointing to this as, according to this contract, you're gone. Now, in reality, how that works will probably be more than 3 months. Uh-huh. But it gives the city the right, in case it is abandoned, to do certain things to take it over. So, and this is from the city's point of view, not from the hangar owner's point of view.
And Jeff, the city is actually going through that right now.
Well, no, but you have a section in here that relates to payment of lease, and that covers that issue there. If someone's not current with their rent, then they can default. Then you have a certain, actually, a shorter period than 3 months to that you send the letter out in.
Well, I think
so. This I just word. I guess the word occupy and abandon is the issue here. You know, if you leave in. Abandoned. I guess I don't know. I mean,
the occupied and abandoned. On vacation doesn't count as abandonment.
But it's not occupied. That's what I'm getting.
It is occupied. Nobody takes all of their stuff.
They and on vacation.
And don't leave a phone number.
So, okay. Well.
Except for hangar G.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's not. I mean, likely you wouldn't go through that just for that particular purpose to be. It's just that the tenor of the thing is not good. Let's put it that way.
I think it's in there for a reason, and like Jim said, and Christy, our legal, or Christy or Carrie, whoever, whichever one of our parties looked at it.
Well, that was the only cure, I would believe. You know, but you have other cures other than that. The other, if no one wants to agree with that, then the other one was the same thing. I just 19.3. I had a question by it. If leasee cures a deficiency, and then within the 24 months, they have another deficiency, I guess they have relinquished any notice. If you find another problem, in other words, you don't have to give them notice, or they can't even cure it. And I think that's another harsh language, personally. Mm-hmm. If that were the case, it's
well, you know, don't well, get I think in trouble then.
This has been pretty well put together and what have you. I think we've hashed it before. Tom, do you have any comments, or Doug, do you have any comments regarding what you have before you?
No.
Peggy, is this something that you would like to have us approve so you can go ahead and
well, I would definitely would like some sort of blessing, because you know, we sent leases out to everybody, and
correct.
Then someone had a problem with them. So then we revised them, sent new leases out, and we okay. just need to get a lease.
Can I quick answer to you? You had this a second. You repeated this several times last time that we have different kind of opinions because we have the head of the owner of the hangars, and I actually want to challenge this because you have. As the manager of the city has the advantage that you have all those people together on one table. So now, if we go ahead with that and we sign it off, then it means there's no confusion anymore. There's compromise. So basically, you have an advantage in comparison to you act as if this is a or not act. You say that this is a disadvantage. It's not a disadvantage. It's a huge advantage that you have all those people on the table.
Well, I think I agree with that.
Yeah. So I think if we sign it off now, if we all agree with it, then the thing is through, right?
Right, and don't open it up next month.
And no, you can't.
Well, there's another
no.
thing we
no, this
do.
Time we made it. You know, we made it.
Because we've been doing this now for a period of time.
Months, yeah. Yeah.
Well, the time isn't the issue. Is whether or not you've dealt with the things. there's never a rush to judgment if you don't have something right. But the other thing here is that I just have one other thing, the discrimination in number 24, that's actually kind of covered. You could be in both places, it doesn't make a difference.
But let's just quick talk. This is fine. But can't we make an agreement like we close it next time or this time? Or I don't know. But there must be an end to the discussion.
Yes.
And there must be...
Well, I'm just bringing
up... I don't want to turn you down. You probably have a valid point, but then if you have a point and everybody agrees to that, then we should say, okay, this is the final... everybody has read it. This is the final points. We should discuss them, and then we should close it up, because otherwise we'd discuss next
continue. I do have a question. Once this is approved, it goes to the council. Is that correct?
No.
No. This group is the one that finalizes this. That you're right. Okay.
Well, it's kind of
this
point.
Actually a recommendation. All at this point, and the city can go still do whatever they would like.
That's FAA stuff.
Well, FAA stuff is right here, so it's duplicated. That's all I'm pointing out. Whether it's in both spots is all.
If I remember correctly, July 1st is when this goes out. Is that correct, Peggy?
Well, that would be ideal.
Okay.
And.
Well, what's the feeling of the group? Do I hear a motion for approval of what?
Well, I have one more thing, Jim, and then I can be overruled. I don't care.
Go ahead.
I'd just like to have my chance to speak, though.
What's number, Jeff?
It'll be 19, number 3. Well, no, excuse me. The next one would be...
You had 20.4, and then what's your next one?
What was
one?
The duplication point that you wanted?
Well, it isn't as critical. Just number 24, you have it in both locations. They're stating basically an FAA about discrimination prohibited, and it doesn't matter if it's in there twice. It's just in there twice, that's all.
Okay.
The other one was, I don't know why, and maybe they had something about if someone were in bankruptcy, it's another, let's see, they lose their lease if they are in a bankruptcy hearing, as compared to not, they would lose their ability to sell the building, it almost makes it sound like. So that's another one, I was just curious why that was in there. Attachment letter. Let's see.
That was another one that was brought up before, by the way, and was defended by the city.
So I'm just thinking that most bankruptcy actions, generally a person in that situation is looking to liquidate all assets. In this case, he is in default of his lease if a voluntary petition of bankruptcy is taking place. So it's I'm not sure why that's, well, that would be necessary to have that in there. In other words, because you're still the owner of the land, you're the leaseor.
What section are you referring to?
Well, that would be
to,
number 19.5.
I can tell you, Jeff, that got discussed previously in the lawyers were adamant that was important to have that in there. I can't. My memory is not such that I could
defend it, but I will say it. If you have to liquidate everything in a bankruptcy, you won't be leasing anything. You can lease the land under it, but not the building on it.
It's no, but I mean, just you're not even
able to. Looking at this point, you have a hangar, right? Yeah. So are there things that you say... I, as a hangar owner, wouldn't sign this. What I'm trying to is just trying to find a way to get this thing finalized. And if you say that there's things that you wouldn't sign, then...
Well, I think it's items in there that are probably overbearing in some regards. And I in talking with somebody that was willing to build a hangar, they looked at certain items in these leases and they said, well, I would not sign the lease. And if we have vacant land, you want to be able to have the ability for people to want to feel comfortable in doing so. So perhaps these wouldn't be the only thing they may go along with it. I'm just thinking that I just wanted to point it out, so that it's on record and and I know hopefully the issues wouldn't go to that extreme, but it's in writing, so it can. And I've always believed if it's in writing, you want it that way, then you're going to do it, not just.
But so. I didn't go that far into this because it's your guys' hangouts, right? So my question is there a knockout in that? Is there something where you say, this is not okay?
I think
at
the big
all?
Thing was the number five. Was certainly, I would not be comfortable signing lease in that particular case.
The 8.5?
Yeah, that's taken care of. The other ones, I'm just pointing out that since this is going to be for future people coming to lease land, I just wouldn't want to have them basically be afraid to sign a new lease or buy a hangar from somebody or do something with. Terms in here that wouldn't be that would make them more nervous than necessary. That's all. It's really it doesn't affect me, but I just want to make sure. So if everybody else is comfortable with it, I'll state my objections, and you guys can approve it.
You also hang it back. What do you have to say?
I'm just an innocent observer here.
Well, but you have a hangar, right?
Yeah. No, I'm okay with that, especially since
it has been revised.
Number five has been removed, but
do I hear approval?
I had already signed it, so.
And I would move to take the two red line suggestions with the spelling correction, and also investigate the duplication of reference in section 24.
It's been progress, guys.
Do I hear
Your
a second?
Section 24, where you said the FAA thing was on two pages.
I didn't mean that. There's consensus on that, right?
Yeah.
Pardon me?
That's what I hear, is that there's consensus on that everybody agrees to that. Okay. So I think there's
was there a
July.
Second?
Sounds like Tom's the second.
Oh, are you the second? Okay. It'll take between now and then to get them all ready, because, frankly, there are very few people who have a current lease.
So there's a bunch of them.
Okay. Been proven.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sadie, did you also look at the T-hanger one?
Well, I brought copies for everybody, and so what I thought is that Ralph brought this up, I think, between meetings, and perhaps he could explain to you what he brought up, and then you can think about
it. Oh, it's a new one?
No, that's the same one. Well, it's probably new compared to what you signed, although I'm not sure.
I didn't sign.
No, you didn't sign.
All right. Now, with the issue, I signed one recently, so it ought to be a lot like that one.
It's it'd be similar, yeah.
The issue. Did you redline the change in here, Peyton? Mm-hmm.
I didn't redline. I didn't make any changes. I thought you would talk about what you suggested as a change.
Oh well, I don't know what the paragraph is.
I think it is paragraph. I think it has to do with insurance.
Well, it does. The issue was that
10.2.
The lease was requiring the lessee, the leasor was requiring the lessee to carry insurance on the property. And since it is rented property on a short-term basis, you can't get insurance on property you don't even own in the first place. And so that needed to be changed. What it was a copy of what's in the other lease.
Right.
Which is owned. So
So it's a different situation. So that needs to be removed. And the other thing that I brought up
before that, do you recall what number that is?
10.2.
Right there. 10.2. 10.2.
Okay.
But let me just check here. We did talk when you and I talked, Ralph, about should we put in there a requirement that the people have insurance on their property that's inside the hangar?
Yeah, some airports require you to carry liability insurance on your aircraft. In other words, you know, if somebody walk in your hangar and the airplane falls on top of them, then they're covered. I mean, I think it's a minor point, but as a matter of course, I think most airports do require that. I don't think it's a big deal one way or the other. And there was one other subject when we get done with this one, Peggy, too.
Okay, but is there any consensus on the liability?
Hey, let me just, can I ask for something? Can we read this new version?
Because yes.
Well, that's the same, isn't it? He didn't change it.
I don't know if his is the same, because he entered into a lease, I think, before we did the new one.
Okay.
So, the reason I brought it here today was so that you could hear what Ralph talked about in my office, and then you can take it home and read it, and come back next time and tweak it.
I just didn't want to disappoint you because I wouldn't be able to say something about it.
Right. Well, the other...
Did either of you talk to CIS about the insurance requirements?
I talked to our insurance company about it, and they agreed that they wouldn't need to have insurance on the T-hangers, the physical building. But they did ask, I mean, I think I did ask them whether we had hangar keeper insurance, because you may have mentioned that.
Well, I was talking to you about hangar keeper's insurance, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's FBOs do, some don't. Ideally, it's nice to have, but it's also very expensive. And I think it might be worth asking, you know, your carrier, what do we cost? My guess is it would probably be kind of prohibitive, but maybe not for T-hangers.
I did ask, and I don't think I got a response to that. But I'll ask again.
Yeah. So who would carry it? I'm sorry.
Oh, you want to wait till next meeting to get those answers?
That'd be the city.
Yeah.
And the other
well,
subject on this
reflected in the price, right? In the rental.
Well, yeah. The other subject on these leases to consider is that, as proposed, it's a 5-year lease. Typically on rental T-hangers, and I think it's really to the city's advantage, I would just do month to month. Because you've got
don't have a term then?
Yeah, it's called it's a month-to-month lease, and it's just automatic renewal, you know, at the end of the month. But the advantage to that, of course, is that you're not tied down to a particular term. T-hangers tend to turn over, and you don't have to get into and get out of leases. And maybe most important of all, and certainly it makes a big deal when you're renting, residential properties, is that if you don't like the tenant, it makes it very easy for you to get rid of them. Because at the end of 30 days, you say goodbye. And if you have a 5-year lease, you have a rather difficult problem.
You have to use other methods.
Yes.
Right. So
I think that's
a good idea. It would be my recommendation that you just make a month-to-month lease on
that. That's how we did in Manassas.
Because, and I think that's, again, the norm, where you have owned
30
property.
30-day warning.
You know, like where you got like the box hangers, where there's an investment on the part of the owner, that's a different situation.
Right.
But on the T-hangers, I would certainly consider that.
I would also like to look at this a little bit under the perspective of defect of payment a little bit more. I didn't see this yet, but I would like to know what happens if people don't pay.
If people don't pay, that's default, it's section
15. It's in there?
Yep. If you don't pay your bill within 30 days after it comes due, you're in default.
Yeah, but then you pay 12%, right?
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
So when does it do the 12% have then? I mean, you pay and pay and pay 12%, you don't pay anyway?
Well, there's Section 17 has the remedies on default, because if you don't pay at some point, you would be in default.
Yeah, and then?
And then, so there's the default in Section 15, and then remedies on default, where it talks about vacating the premises and reentry or abandonment and that sort of thing. So just take a look at it.
Yeah, I want to have a look at it.
Bring us back.
Because this will come up one day, because there's probably hangars one day that will be with aircrafts that are not maintained, that are standing around there, and nobody can pay for it.
And again, that's where your 30-day thing just makes it that much easier.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think you call them a tenancy, then you don't go to lease. It's not called a lease. That's the only difference. It's a month-to-month tenancy.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and take a look at this. It'll be on the agenda then for June.
Okay. We do our homework.
Okay, Hangar G.
Well, Hangar G, Lance and I went out there a couple of Fridays ago and went into Hangar G, and took some photos and sent the sort of a basic inventory. You didn't inventory every little thing that was in there, and sent it to our legal team, and they are reviewing what our options are in terms of disposing of the items that are inside. There's a van.
You have a garage sale.
Well, I heard there was one last Saturday, and I asked our attorney if we could sell that stuff at the garage sale.
Is there an aircraft in between somewhere?
There's no aircraft in there.
That would be,
there are a couple surfboards and a thing called a scale board, S-K-A-I-L, like a sailboard on wheels, mm-hmm. like sort of like a surfboard of some, mm-hmm. I don't know. But and then some junk. There was sort of an entryway with a little dining room table, small dining room table, and a bed and microwave and that sort of thing. And then there's
speaking of tenancy.
Yeah.
So there's nobody that claims, says it's mine?
Well, we have not been able to communicate with this person via mail. And we have a land, a street address, and a post office box, which we've tried. We've tried tracking the license plate on the van, mm-hmm. called the people whose name is on the side of the van, called the registered owners of the van, and they are seemingly unconnected to this.
And nobody has paid yet.
Nobody's paid in a...
For how long?
At least 18 months.
Well, interestingly, a little antidote. When the guys were out putting the roof on my hangar here a couple weeks ago, and I wasn't there, but apparently the guy doing the roofing was approached by a guy who says, oh, how much, you know, would it cost for a new roof? Because my brother's thinking about getting one for his hangar. So the guy says, well, which hangar is it? And he pointed to Hangar G. And he says, my brother owns it. So I guess the guy talked to him for a minute. Now, I found that out, of course, from the roofer later on. So we've had contact someone.
Well, what's really...
Well, we don't have a name. Or, he didn't.
No.
Well, have him put a roof on first before you take it back.
Yeah. we definitely will. And what's really weird is that the day that Lance and I went on the tour of the hangar, there was a brand new for sale sign on the hangar with a different telephone number than there had been the week before, or even, as Lance said, the day before. And so I called the number that was on the for sale sign, and told this guy answered, and I said, I'm interested in your hangar. And he said, what hangar? And I said, the hangar you've got for sale in Newport. And he said, well, I have a hangar, but it's in Hood River. And I thought, I'm talking to this guy, because he had a hangar in Hood River, and Hood River Airport is looking for him, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now you can do reverse tracking.
Well, it was a cell phone.
GPS.
So River people is in
well,
Newport,
and the thing
Newport
that was really weird is that the cell phone, I mean, you can see a location of the cell phone if you type the number into your computer, and it was right across the river in Washington from Hood River. Hmm. And the van that's in the hangar has licensed in Washington.
Well, what, you know, just for curiosity's sake, I mean, it appears this guy needs to sell this hangar. Let people know that perhaps there's a hangar for sale out of here. You know, help him out as far as finding a buyer is what I'm thinking. Well, the FBO says, you know, I'm looking for a hangar. Say, well, hang on, we'll write your name down and we'll get this, because evidently he's short of cash or something. So.
Well, it did occur to me, and this is sort of related and sort of not, and I forgot to ask you about this. Well, there are a number of hangars out there that are for sale. And I don't know whether that's something that we can list on our airport page, or is that too...
There is a hangar for sale website, even, kind of like a Craigslist. You know,
is
you're
there?
Just pre-posting your names.
Well, I think you could probably...
I had to look on there.
On your website, you wouldn't be able to identify which one, but you could say hangars are available, contact some, you know, and then he can... You can refer a contact. You can't be specific on probably if it was generally listed, you probably refer people, but you couldn't.
You can say box hangar for sale,
contact
FBO.
Is all you would do. It's a real generic list.
Cross and one down.
Oh, it's next between Watkins and
Watkins and Reno.
The hangar G, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it needs a lot of work. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, inside it's... I don't know. How can you tell? Inside, it's kind of...
Oh, you go around the back and push on the siding?
Oh.
It's kind of...
I was afraid to go back there.
Yeah, that's a dangerous
place. I think the
weeds were too high.
Well, I guess as far as the committee goes, I mean, it sounds like you guys are doing your job. I mean,
we'll just keep you posted on that.
Yeah, yeah. You're doing fine.
Good luck liquidating the contents.
Yeah. Well,
guess you could just tell the guy opposite of the river, well, stuff inside is going to have to go away.
Are you looking for a recommendation from this group regarding
this? No, I'm just... Well,
you just threw it out to discuss.
Yeah. Well, if you buy it, you could either buy it with the junk or without the junk.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't matter. It's just a matter of price, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. City would have to auction it eventually.
Well, some of the things, some of the things don't have the value that would require an auction, according to the city attorney. And I'm thinking that almost everything in there falls within that category. We may have to do, you know, some sort of surplus item sale. We'd have to do.
Well, you still have to get it first. Yeah. You got ways to go for that.
Is there a title or deed for the building itself?
There's a bill of sale.
Okay.
Yeah. Hmm.
Ralph, don't leave your hangar door open very long. You're up to have more.
Yeah, it's full of dinner.
Okay. Maybe the new city.
Any comments, regards from the group here? I was going to ask you, Peggy, could you send a copy of this to Mark?
Yes,
so he could be able to go ahead and review this before he comes. That way we can make a decision, hopefully, the next meeting.
I saw Craig walking around. Was he at a different meeting today?
He had to go back to the airport. He had one of the nav aids turned off. He's trying to get the grass moved around.
Terry, and then Lance was going to try to make it, right?
Yeah, but he's at another meeting right now.
And the only other thing I've heard about is that there is somebody who's interested in leasing the entire upstairs of the FBO.
It's already been leased, isn't it?
A new one?
Well, you know, Les Lacasse has leased an office up there. Yeah. He's interested in leasing the entire upstairs, the whole 715 square feet.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to the point, just you went over this and he said that Mark should get this paper. I can see this as well, but before we all agreed that we finalize this paper now, right? And the points of Mark have been taken care of, and I think they were very, very valuable.
For the box
so now,
hangers.
Yeah, for the box hangers. We're talking about box hangers, right?
Well,
so, and you said we finalized it,
yes,
right?
Yes, that one's closed. Now we're talking
about
that.
T hangers.
Yeah, you're taking this home for review and whatever for discussion for next time.
For the T hangers.
But Mark didn't get it because he's not at the
yeah, yeah. So we're talking about T hangers in that case. Okay.
Yeah. So I
because
sure.
I just thought we just closed the sack and we open it up again for the box hangers. We don't do that, right? We close it up now and we say, okay, we proceed.
Right.
So that the lease, new lease contract can get out to July. Right?
We're through correct. With that. Yep. Hopefully everyone will sign it.
Yep.
Even
hopefully
if
don't see it again.
No, you have the owners and the town. And everybody agreed on it. So it's
mm-hmm. Doug, any comments?
No more comments.
Any more comments?
Oh, one. What was it? I guess they did it maybe for Lance or Terry to look into coming up. Is in the past they've held like a space closest to the fence where the little road is where they park the FedEx trucks and all that. There's actually a leasable hangar space there that's been, in theory, held just in case somebody wants to have a business there and they build a hangar and yada, 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 you know, all this thing. And so it's never been leasable. And then, of course, there's an area right behind the jet ramp that's available for development, too, in my view. But I'd like to maybe get some input and see what it's on the airport's master plan, and I know that one person was interested, now he's not, but maybe somebody would be interested in building additional hangar space out there, although we have our fire flow problems. But I don't know, maybe if someone calls up and it's unclear to the staff whether or not there's land available, and it seems to be something in some question, I'd like to have the answer. Do we have a problem or don't we?
Well, that's...
With the master plan, you mean?
Yeah, well, the master plan should be okay with the space. I think it's like next to M where Hunt's hangar was. There's
Jim, is that where the
there.
FedEx wanted to put the fence?
No, they're going to put the fence where they are currently parking their vehicles.
Oh, okay.
Just to close the fence on there.
Yeah.
You mean where they were parking? Or where you're not talking about over by the big hangar? I mean, they're parking them inside the fence now.
No.
Temporary.
Temporary.
You're talking about where they used to park. Yeah. Right. He's talking about just on the other side of the fence.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just think that it'd be nice to know
If there's any buildable...
Buildable land available, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was sure down at our side, right?
Yeah, at the T-Hangers.
Well, in the past, that's been also was being kind of like a King's X on even the vacant land by you guys because, well, the city at one time was going to be able to build an additional hangar, T-Hanger space for 95 cents on a dollar, and that was didn't go through. We'll get into it. But now, is that available? Yes or no?
And what you mentioned also, I've heard differing stories like that. The lot there next to Hunt's Hangar and also the one over, you know, between Hans and...
It's number four, I think.
You know.
Yeah, there's a space there
next
also.
Next to yeah. Hans Hangar and Great Stanton. And the question was, is there a fire problem?
Well, the issue is and the yeah, it's fire flow the previous
water
fire
supply sufficient.
Yeah. Well, okay. Then it gets to be how much the 1,500 gallons a minute requirement, and you know, it could be that if there's sufficient space out there, you might look at obtaining a tank, a polypropylene tank large enough to have a reservoir to satisfy that 1,500 gallon minute need for pretty much all that area. And I've looked into the cost, and it's about $20,000, but I mean, it's still, it's doable unless we get a water line out there.
Well, and better yet, see if you can work a deal and tap into the Coast Guard, because they've got a tank just for that purpose.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, maybe they would.
That's true. Know.
But the question I was getting to is somebody comes in, because I've heard different stories on that, those two lots out there, you know, hey, I want to build a hangar, can I or can't I?
Maybe couldn't be prepared.
Yeah. We'll try to find out for your next meeting.
Yeah.
A general building plan, huh? That should be a good idea, actually.
Yeah, you know what? No one wants to come to a... The guy is wanting to bring a business to a town. He doesn't want to have to wait 6 months to get an answer. He'll go somewhere else to make money. So yeah. We might as well have it ready. It's the same one. Yeah,
you know, the question for me also is, whenever I go to any town, now Oregon is specific, but if I go to towns where the economy is thriving, and there's always industry around the airport. And so I think, because also there's goods coming in, right, with aircraft, and there's FedEx and whatever. So... it would be probably good to have also some space, when you make a plan like that, some space next to the airport for industrial development. I don't know if this has been planned or...
Because there is an airport master plan.
There is,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Outdated.
Yeah. I think they are planning on updating it in the next few years.
Yeah.
You probably could just look at it.
You're required to have one, actually, to get grant money, so...
Yeah. I think it's next grant funding cycle, Lance, or somebody said they're going to try to put that in there.
Yeah.
But the property just outside the fence, as you drive into there, it's on airport property, but it's not inside the fence.
Yeah.
It's not quite as onerous. You know, it doesn't have to be as related to airports.
Any other comments? I have a question. Am I the only one here that did not realize that the folks that have the museum in Tillamook had property at Madras at the Redmond at the airport?
It's already part of Butler Aviation, as I understand.
Yeah, I did not realize they had anything over there.
Already confirmed. It went through the radio that they're already moving because of, they say about corrosion issues, and I can see this point.
Yeah. So they're going to Madras?
Yeah.
Well,
but they also bought out, or rumored to have at least bought out part of, or all of Butler Aviation over there. Who's the firebombing operation? And Jim, before you break up.
Yeah, well, Ruff, go ahead.
It's budget cycle time. And what I would like to get from each of you, from the committee as a whole, is a recommendation on the airport budget. And I know, Jim, are we going to talk about that tonight, or is that in the next one?
That'll be next one.
Okay, that'll be good. So here's a copy of the detailed airport budget. I mentioned this to Lance, too, and he said that we thought it was a good idea. So if you guys could get, and I'd suggest talking to Lance and Terry and going through the budget, and that way when we discuss this, You know, I would love to be able to say this has the concurrence of, or at least we like to change, you know, item A or B or C, and, you know, have that for the budget committee discussions, which started last Tuesday, will continue tonight, and go forward into the...
Three of them? Not four?
The 30th is our next meeting. That would be probably the airport plan.
What's...
But, just a reminder, don't get together and meet.
No, no.
Well, next question, I guess, related to the budget. In the past, it's been a, the budget's, the airport's been kind of basically a percentage of a certain amount, you know, and you, if the room tax portion, at least the portion that is now being tossed around, but, you know, that used to come from room tax, and if the room tax was lower, the percentage, you know, the percentage of it was lower, is it, are we still kind of holding to that little, are you trying to budget that kind of idea, or?
No, you'll see in there, there's two line items for transfers in. One is the transfer in from the room tax, and this is from the promotion and marketing side of room tax, and then you'll see another transfer in for from general fund monies, and that's just what the general fund, what it takes to maintain operations of the airport. So you'll see both of those. It's not a percentage or anything, it's just this is how much money is needed to keep those operations going.
You'll also see there's an extra 300 and some thousand in there this year because of the match requirement for the runway job, assuming it goes ahead.
At the last meeting, Durham mentioned about the roof replacement in the budget.
That's also
in the budget.
Budget.
It's in the budget.
You see a $150,000 line item, and that's for the roofs, and I think there's some other repair that were items miscellaneous.
But I have a question. Can I ask something about this? Because I have an understanding question for this thing. There's revenues and there is expenditures, right? And the fuel that is being purchased is being sold on the other side, right? Is that so?
You'll see that there's two sections. There's the operations budget and the FBO budget. Yeah. The FBO budget, you'll see revenues or the expenses to buy the fuel.
Yeah.
You'll see the revenues.
Yeah. So, and I've been now comparing this, and so I, in 2012, I can see that we make $104,000. Is it? I'm just. I hope you can stop me immediately if you say this is stupid. Don't ask. We talk about this later. But I see that there's $104,000 that we make on the fuel on the AFGAS. Then I see in this year we expect $80,000 on AFGAS, not on AFGAS, on jet fuel, and then next year $30,000 on jet fuel, and so I was asking myself how this goes down, and I can see that general aviation, say AFGAS, goes down. This is because people don't have money; people sell the aircraft, right? I'm not quite sure how this.
I think AFGAS, what you're probably doing is you're comparing budgeted numbers versus actual numbers.
Yeah.
So last year, the previous year, we underestimated the amount of sales. So at the end of the year, we needed to buy some. So it causing problem. So what we did, we estimated high in purchasing fuel, and we estimated high in selling fuel. So we just, whatever we purchased, we assumed that we were going to sell.
Yeah.
And so if it went less, both line items went less.
No, we did good. We did very good last year. That's what I'm saying. And this year, so the predictions, and for this year, and for the prediction
this
for next year,
they dropped
the dramatically. And I'm asking myself,
well, the Seaport you were buying.
You see, that was a year before.
See, this is budget. This isn't actual.
But 13, remember, 13 isn't over yet. The year ends.
12 is actual, right?
12 is actual.
I'm looking at actual at 12.
Okay.
And I can see that we sold for $253,000 and we purchased for $149,000. So this is $104,000 that we made in gains somehow.
Maybe. And
this is actual.
I know that. But I'll say maybe because how we budget is not like a regular business who will take their inventory into account. We don't take inventory into account, so we could have
carry forward.
So we could either have a fuel full tank of gas that we haven't sold, so our revenues were down, or we have an empty tank that we bought the year before, so the revenue's high. So it's just the way municipalities budget that it's, you just have to, you have to look at a couple years, so it balances out.
Yeah, I can see this to a certain extent, but then I'm surprised that it goes from 104 in 2012 down to 30,000, and this is quite a bit. This is quite dramatic, I think. So it's only a third.
That's your
Difference between the two.
The one is budget, right. Well, it's but then why is the budget so far down?
It's good to have a conservative estimate of
that. You don't want to make profits.
It's not that you're not making it. You might not sell it, and so you would not have profit.
Well, it's a pretty dramatic drop. But, I mean, that's what you got to discuss. Yeah, Jim, if you'd take the lead, you know, as the airport committee, and feed the information back to me, I'd really appreciate it. And like I say, if we're going to talk about this, it's not going to be till the 30th. So pick a date and, like I say, talk to Lance and Terry. They're, you know.
But who's the one that I assume that some people sat together and made these figures, right? So there must be a sense behind it. Because normally, when you do a budget, you look back, you say, this is what we sold, this is what we purchased, and then you have the budget, and then you predict. And then the question is, why is the prediction that it gets worse? Even so, we still have the same customers. The main customers are the guys from FedEx, right? And the American Air, or whatever the name is.
And sell a whole lot to
but
FedEx.
who are the main customers? The Coast Guard, perhaps, right?
No.
So who are the people that made this?
It's just jets that fly in, and it's we don't have regular customers.
Yeah.
So it is. It does go up and down. And it was 11 for sure, maybe, that when we had Seaport here, there was a more constant.
Oh, yeah, there was 11,
but
yeah.
Once they went, it's just, if jets come in and we sell lots of fuel, if they don't, we don't. So what we try to do in the budget is just look at the revenues and costs for both Avgas and Jet A to make sure that they are consistent, that a markup, I think, you know, I'm trying to remember the number, I think a 20% markup, you'll just see, you can probably calculate to do that and see what kind of markup that we're anticipating.
And this is what I'm coming at, because we started off in for the actual in 2012 is 70% gain, and then it went down to 40% as a prediction for this year, and then it went down to 20% for next year.
Yeah, I think 20% is what I remember. Is it the same? I don't think it's the same for Jet A, as well as
it's Jet A. This is Jet A. F-gas, I don't look at, because I don't.
We just give it away. I mean, honestly,
we appreciate that.
Yeah,
as pilot.
I know you do. I know you do.
As pilot.
And it isn't just like give it away. We actually lose, because we have to pay for the facilities, the people, so which isn't included into the cost of the fuel. So it's a giveaway.
But now, thinking about the town of Newport, and we're all citizens of Newport, right? Then we should actually, well, I consider myself, my daughter goes to Newport, my son will go to Newport, so we should probably also think about what the future will be in this regard, because I don't think a negative is not good.
The question I would have is, they're anticipating, sounds like, fewer sales next year, and our job maybe as committee here is to figure out how to get the sales back up so that you're going to be selling more and go past their expectations. Mm-hmm. So, being conservative in the budget is one thing, and you can't put it in the figure and make it happen, so I guess our charge is to figure out how to make it happen, make it look better.
Although there's no profit or much benefit to the budget if we sell more Avgas.
Well, there is. Yeah, oh yeah, you still make money on it. It's not like they're losing money on Avgas, but I mean, you're still making. But jet fuel is where the money is.
Yeah, so we gotta get jet fuel is the big bucks.
That's the big, we gotta figure out how to get more jet business in here.
Peggy, you have any comments anything we can help you with?
No, but thank you for dealing with the box hangar lease. And just to let you know, our city manager is leaving, and this may be his last airport meeting.
Oh, you come back and say things like
that. I understand he's taking some things from Hangar G.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, you can use the van to move.
Back to Washington. It's already got Washington plates, but they are expired. You have to get new plates.
Oh.
And move those surfboards.
Okay. Is there anything else?
If anybody wants a copy of this, I mean, Peggy, you could send it out, but you could just give them a hard copy of that right now.
I can give you a hard copy, or I can email it. What's your preference?
Did you want to email that out to us?
Yeah, I can do
That's the full budget. What?
That's the pages out of it.
If you do that, it would be great, because that way Mark can get what copy.
I just don't want to be persistent.
I'll take
you. Just turned me down. So,
you what?
So, you just turned me down, so charming. But I just wanted to quick talk about this about this budget, because I want to know what you guys want from us. Because if he sends this stuff to me, should I look at this? Or is there any contradiction from my point of view? Should I come back? And then who is the guy? Who should we talk to? To him?
Well,
to you? You're not there anymore, but I learned, right? So you're the one that will push it.
Yeah, as a member here and what have you, just like you take a look at everything, sometimes you swear that everybody here is an attorney, the way they start looking at things and what have you, and then come up with a consensus, and this is what the group does. Just like you brought this up today.
But somebody must say, this is not that somebody just said, hey, to write this list and just put this number in. Somebody has a brain in there, has some intelligence in this. And so the question is, who will be the one that says, we change it? We don't want to do anything wrong, right? So there must be then Lance or Terry who will stand in for the numbers, right?
Well,
I'm asking
better
you.
Understanding of the budget process is what Thomas needs. Or
Jim is the budget officer for the city.
But he's gone. If you can
he'll be here
the next 2 weeks
through the budget.
I can answer your questions, because I pretty much put those numbers together with input from Lance and Terry.
Right, so basically, it's the expenditures that are lined up for the year.
Yeah. He's not leaving until the 4th of June.
Okay.
Maybe.
There may still be work
on the 5th.
Yeah. Well, help Thomas out too on as far as your supplies like gas or jet fuel, whatever you want to call that. Whatever budget you put in there, if it's low, you got to change it. If you sell more, if you don't buy more and sell more, mm-hmm. If it's high, it doesn't affect. It's bad if you don't sell enough because you're not making any money. But if you don't have a high enough budget number, you have to revise your budget to reflect needing more supplies to sell. So if if you got too low, then it's an issue just for convenience sake. If it's too high for income wise, then you probably can't spend what you're going to derive from it.
Well, I'm looking at the figures, which is 299 in 11, which I can understand this was worse, the worst seaport, and then 283 in 12, and then 280 as a prediction for this year, and then I see 180, it's 100,000 less.
100,000
is a lot of money. So,
how many gallons is that?
6. What's it, 6?
100,000.
Yeah, $5 a gallon is $20,000.
Yeah,
20,000 gallons.
20,000 gallons.
20,000 gallons. Well, you don't know. About a couple jets come in here and they buy 6,000-7,000 gallons at a time. So.
Again, recognizing that for fuel, there's an expense and a revenue. So if we get halfway through the year and we've spent all our money on fuel, we will buy more because we know that there's revenue coming in. So we'll amend the budget that says, more revenues coming in, here's more expenses. So
you can do it.
I think the only thing to really look at is the relationship between revenue and expenses. And if you think that we should be charging more, then you should make a recommendation we should charge more than 20%. Then we can charge more. I mean, that's really the percentage markup is really the biggest decision.
That's what I'm looking at.
How much you actually purchase and sell, that's one point, but really that market, that's the key.
And this group has discussed in the past what cost should be for for fuel out here also.
In kind of in relation to...
I think
we have to put a little we have to discuss it a little bit more. I think I'm still not that comfortable with it, but I didn't think you can say I'm probably too nosy. I want to know too much.
And the other thing, just worry about the big numbers and fuel purchases is the big number. Your labor is pretty much set.
Wouldn't worry about fuel. I would focus on the expenses. What's being planned? What's going to be done? Is there an oversight? Something that's forgotten? That's what we should be dealing with, as far as I'm concerned, with the budget.
Well, like I said, all I'm looking for, not all, but is a unified recommendation from the airport committee, because I'm a member of the budget committee.
You're correct.
And what you give me is a recommendation, and what I give them is a recommendation, but at least we can say the airport committee says that, you know. And if we're going to talk about this on May the 30th, then obviously I need it sometime prior to May the 30th. And Jim, I would expect that to come from you to me.
So we need to contact you in whatever in regards to what your interests are going for the committee. So
So we have something we'll pass it to you.
So there will be another meeting before May 30th?
No,
emails.
You could have one if you notice it, but if you all get together, you got
to try not to have any discussions on the email. I mean, what you should do is send your emails directly to Jim and don't start chit-chatting among yourselves, because then that creates a meeting.
Wouldn't it be nice to make a meeting, to do another meeting about
this
subject?
You can have another meeting. You just need to let me know.
Getting the group together has been very difficult, just even for this one.
Yeah, this could be a short time period, and... having seen a lot of the budgets, you're probably not going to find anything so dramatic that you'll need a meeting to discuss it.
What Peggy's saying is, if you have a meeting, you have to have a public notice that a meeting's going to be held.
Yeah.
Well, it's easy.
So what I would need is like a Saturday.
We'll be there anyway. All those people said meet on Saturday. You should come. And do you have a hamburger? Bring your husband.
You can get a hamburger.
Yeah. Well... Let me know a little in advance if you want to need to hold a meeting.
No. Why don't you go ahead and email me with what you have. We can go ahead and discuss it then. I'm going to give you my email address.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Somebody CC'd in all the other.
This is JNHAWL@peak.org.
Lift off the other three letters.
I just changed it because otherwise it was Kitty Cat. And I think you might have a problem discussing that with your wife. How come you're sending email to Kitty Cat? My wife, when she retired from the school district, set up a little deal for pets, dogs and cats and what have you, so just call it a Kitty Cat at. No, I think it's better this way, JNHAWL@. Then we can go ahead and get information to Ralph if there's...
Yeah, we just put it on to Ralph.
Yeah, just...
Give it all to
Ralph. Any other comments?
Just one very quick, because I already mentioned this to the city council. Butler Aircraft, who did sell some of their things to their... firefighting to Tillamook Air, and that's essentially why they're moving over there, has again expressed some interest. They're poking around about it with our FBO. They had called me like 7 or 8 months ago, but then this thing with Tillamook Air kind of got in their way. But now that that's done, he called and said, hey, I'm might be here in a month or so and take a look. And I said, you're welcome. And if something's good for you and good for us, we can definitely make a deal. So at least there's some interest in it, and I just want to let you know that they actually made contact with me on it. So I just wanted to report that.
So from my understanding, what kind of services would be covered by Butler then, and what kind of service would the town of Newport still have to cover?
Well, we would have Butler
operate
our FBO. So right now we only sell fuel, but they would sell fuel. They may do mechanic. They might have some air flights. They have a whole list of FBO services they do.
I've been there.
So, hey, what's the Newport
So hopefully they will do some of that here Newport, to expand Oregon, the FBO services, something that Newport, you know, as a municipality.
Oregon spelled out?
We're just not good at doing those kinds
never
of things.
Yeah.
Because we don't, governments don't like to take risk, and businessmen, that's why they're in business, to take risk. And
yeah.
And so we're hoping that someone can come in and do those services because it will add to the airport.
So what happens to this? I mean, there's people involved, right? I mean, there's Lance, there's Terry, and there's people. So they would just work for Butler then? Or how would
no,
they
work? I, you know, no, I can't say exactly what would happen, but it takes people just to operate the airport, our operations side. It takes two people because you have to mow it, maintain it. So, you know, Terry and Lance for sure. And we also have some temporaries. So I think the temporaries, we would lose the temporaries, and then we would have the same three people we have right now. So I think it'll work out. It would work out well for everybody, other than our temporaries. But we just hire them from Barrett, so they would just go to some other temporary job. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the nice thing about it is we're in a situation we can negotiate with somebody that wants to do business here with what they provide and don't provide.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you could, for example, they could actually do the mowing of the grass. Probably don't want to, but I mean, that's just something.
Well, I remember that when somebody wants to come and make business with you, that you're always in a good position.
Yeah.
So you can negotiate whatever you want.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is. Put your email down for me.
My what?
Email.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I have.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, right. Good luck for the future.
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
To Muckatil, which is just right there by the hill.
And the ferry
system. And the ferry system.